Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome in to another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. I am, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He's the Stevie to my Kenny Powers. He's Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
You know, the Capitals and your intros are trending in opposite directions. The Capitals are getting better. They've won 5 in a row overall. 10 in a row on F Street, and your intros are getting weaker, and they're starting to they've hit the skids, and they're dangerously close to missing the playoffs.
I think that any Eastbound and Down fans would strongly disagree with that.
I saw a couple of those episodes, and it was funny. I just could never fully invest myself in the show, but the few that I saw, it was quality program.
Vice Principals as well, also a very good show. But I'm a big Danny McBride fan. That's my kind of humor. Anyway.
Next.
We're going to talk about some hockey, actually, today. What we will talk about, we're going to
That's
talk,
what's up.
We're going to talk. Let's do that hockey. We're going to talk about the struggles of Andrei Burakovsky. We're going to talk about why the Caps may have passed on Cody Franzen. And we will open up the mailbag, which we did not have time to get into last week. First, a quick note on the All-Star teams. We are recording this before the rosters were announced because Mr. Capitals Insider has a busy schedule. And so that's...
I'm working. I have to go cover a event way in the middle of nowhere, Prince George's County, Maryland, which you guys will see on social and on our digital platforms. It's going to be pretty cool. You'll enjoy it. But I can't say what it is.
So there's a tease. Anyway, we will no doubt talk about that next week. I just wanted to get it out there in case you guys were wondering why we weren't talking about any of the surprise selections or snubs. Tarik, this was supposed to be a breakout season for Andrei Burakovsky, but yep. He has struggled with only 3 goals and 5 assists. A broken thumb kept him out for several weeks, but his struggles go well beyond the injury. He was a healthy scratch for 2 games before Trotz put him back into the lineup on the 4th line, saying essentially that it was hard to take anyone else out of the lineup considering how well the other forwards are playing. So what does the future hold for Burakovsky?
Well, the thing that I would say that stands out to me about Andre is it's not like he's not playing hard enough or he's not giving 100% or he's, you know, dogging it. That's not his problem. He is playing hard. But if you kind of read between the lines, there are some indications that maybe he's not doing certain things within Barry's system that are effective. Maybe he's freelancing a little too much. Maybe he's not making the proper reads, because when you listen to what Barry says, Barry talks about going through video and making corrections. And I guess the troubling thing to me would be, and if I have a good read on this, is that, you know, this isn't his first season or second season in Barry's system. I mean, he's been in the system. He should be able to get these things down by now. And if you don't have the coach's trust, you know, this many games into your tenure with him, then you have to. They have to start looking at things a different way. They have to find a different way to get through to him and make him understand that he's got to do things a certain way when he's out there on the ice. The production is important, but more importantly, whenever we talk to Barry and other coaches, even in different sports, when you're not scoring, you have to do the other things, and that's the difference right now between TJ Oshie struggling to score goals and Andrei Burakovsky struggling to score goals. When TJ's struggling, he's still making plays. He's still creating opportunities. He's still in the right place defensively. He's still in hard on the forecheck. He's still making the small, detailed plays that you would expect from a veteran. When Andre's not scoring, sometimes he's just not doing those other things. Sometimes he's just not influencing the game. I think he's been he's done what he's been. You know, he's played two games now on the fourth line. I think he's done okay in that role. That's just not his role.
Yes.
It's just not his role. Right. And it would seem to me they're choosing right now between Jacob Vrana and Andrei Burakovsky. They rotated in the same spot on the second line in practice the other day. They've been rotating in practice on the power play. I think the team kind of views them as very similar players. And you know what Jake Vrana did last night against the Canucks? He showed that he doesn't want to come out of the lineup. That was one of his best games in a couple of weeks. So maybe they have two players that are kind of redundant, and then you have to figure out what you're going to do there.
Yeah.
But Andre's got to get back into the top six or at least the top nine so he can start playing with guys who play the game similarly, think the game similarly to him, so he can start producing again. But you can't put him back in the top nine until someone in the top nine falls out of favor. And he proves it, and Andre proves that he's ready to assume a bigger role.
Yeah, that's the problem. Burakovsky, fourth line is not his role, as you said, and it's hard for him to get going, hard for him to get in a rhythm when he's getting fourth line minutes. So that makes it hard for him to climb back in the lineup. And it's also compounded by the fact by who do you take out? Who do you replace Burakovsky with? There aren't many people who you would. Devontae Smith-Pelly is playing well. Tom Wilson's playing well. Oshie is Oshie. You're not going to replace him. You're not going to replace him.
The only option is 13, and he's not.
And he's playing
he's not,
well.
He's not making it hard. He's not making it easy. He hasn't produced. He hasn't produced, right. But he's not making it easy, especially with the way he played against the Canucks. I thought he was flying. His net drive was outstanding. I mean, he when he got the puck, he used his speed and skated in straight lines and went straight to the net. Had a couple of really good opportunities, just didn't finish.
Yeah, he's on a bit of a cold streak, but he's fourth on the team in goals with 10.
Right.
And he's a rookie.
Right.
So I'm willing to give him more of a pass than I am someone like Andrei Burakovsky, who's been in this system for a few years. So I'm not down on Jacob Vrana at all, especially last night. He may not have had points, but he had a lot of opportunities, some of which he created himself. Mm-hmm. So I like the way he's playing. It's tough right now for Burakovsky.
Well, the other thing with Andre, and you don't want to make excuses for players, and he would never use this, but he's missed large swaths of two seasons now.
Mm-hmm.
And for a young player, that's important developmental time. That's important for any player, but especially for a young player who's still trying to figure out how to play this game at this level.
Right.
And for him to miss 20 games pretty much right off the bat. Remember, he had kind of a soft start to the season. Mm-hmm. Then he broke his thumb. Then he was out for 20 games. And when he came back, he wasn't. You know, his timing wasn't quite there. I think his thumb felt okay, but it takes a while before you get back into a rhythm. And then he was sat out, and then now he's on the fourth line. So it's kind of been – it's not a wasted season because it's only been half of a season.
Right.
But he's running out of time to make this – you know, to make an impact on the 2017-18 campaign. And somehow he's got to find a way to produce there on that fourth line so he can push someone out of the top nine and be where he needs to be.
The one last thing I'll say about Burakovsky is that I saw a lot of people who saw the lineup last night and said, oh, great, now we'll have a real lineup if you just switch Devontae Smith-Pelly with Andrei Burakovsky. Now I will pause for the weekly Tarek yelling at me for caring what fans say. Go ahead, Tarek, before I get into this.
Why do you care what fans say?
Okay, thank you. Anyway, so There's a video,
and we love fans. I mean, I am a fan myself. So
I know, you just give me this.
This is not poo pooing on fans.
You give me this lecture every week when I try to bring up the fans.
But you know, there are the people who are in the game. Then there are the people who cover the game, like us, who are there every single day.
Right.
And then there are the folks who watch it over dinner. You know, and they can have their opinions. It's great. But sometimes you have to kind of yield to the folks who are to the coaching staff. Right. Who pull into the parking lot at 6 in the morning and are there until midnight every single day trying to figure out how to get Andrei Burakovsky going.
There's a video game mentality that people have where they just think that you plug lines based on what that overall rating is. Is Andrei Burakovsky more skilled than Devontae Smith-Pelly? Yes, but you can't ignore the context of the season. Devontae Smith-Pelly has added more to this team this season than Andrei Burakovsky. Devontae Smith-Pelly has earned his spot in the lineup right now, and you can't say that of Andrei Burakovsky every single night. So before you look at that lineup and start tearing it apart because Andrei Burakovsky is a better player than Devontae Smith-Pelly, you have to take the context into consideration.
And there is a balance that you have to strike with every line. You can't have three very similar players or two very similar. You have to have a guy who'll be your puck retrieval guy, your guy who will, you know, win board battle. You have to have guys who do different things. And right now, Devontae kind of is that that yin to the yang on that first line. And honestly, I like the way Oshie's been looking on the third line. I feel like that's brought some balance to the top nine.
You like it, and Oshie likes it. Yeah. Oshie is oozing with confidence after practice. He loves playing on that line. Yeah. I think you can really see the spark starting to warm up there. That's the offense. We're going to talk a little bit about the defense right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tark, the Chicago Blackhawks raised a few eyebrows this week when they placed Cody Franzen, a right shooting defenseman, on waivers.
I thought you were going to say when they scratched Brent Seabrook. Whoa.
Yeah. That was also surprising. But in terms of the Caps, they could have taken Cody Franzen if they wanted to by claiming him on waivers. He passed through waivers, however, with no claim on him, considering that defensive depth, particularly on the right, is an area of need for Washington. Were you surprised that they did not bring in Franzen?
When I saw that he was on waivers, I mean, of course, my antenna went up for a second. I was like, ooh, look at this guy. But you know what? He wasn't able to crack a lineup with a struggling Blackhawks team. The Caps do probably need to address the blue line sometime between now and the trade deadline just to bring in a little bit more depth. Right side depth is big. But you know what? If I'm McClellan, I'm more interested in developing the young guys I have rather than taking ice time away from them. If you bring in a Cody Franzen, you know what that means? That means Madison Bowie goes back to Hershey.
Yes.
You know what that means? Madison Bowie is in the same spot next year, maybe a little ahead of where he is now, and you have to continue to build his game. I think you let him play. You're in first place. You're up by 4 points in the toughest division in hockey. Mm-hmm. You've got some house money you're playing with here now, and I think now is a time to let young Madison and young Juice and all those guys, Ron, just figure it out. I mean, this is the stretch run. The NHL gets harder every 20 games from the start of the year. It gets harder progressively until you get to the postseason. And the only way to know how to play in January and February when the checking gets a little tighter and the games get a little closer and the guys start playing a little harder, if you're a 22-year-old defenseman, is to see that anger level from a 30-year-old who's playing for a contract and trying to get into the postseason. You gotta do it. You gotta experience it. And the only way to do it is to be out there. And the fact that they didn't grab Franzen, I don't find it surprising. Like I said, it would have taken minutes away from a guy I think needs to be developed. So I was not surprised.
Cody Franzen is one of those players where there's definitely a mixed opinion on him and his abilities. The one thing that's not deniable about him, though, is that he's not fast. He's a slower player.
Right.
And I think that is the issue for Washington. Bringing him in here as a depth third-pair defenseman, you can't have him on a pair with Brooks Orpik.
Also, you know, there are not enough right-handed defensemen to go around.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that 30 other teams also said, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, I mean, that says
something. That says a lot.
That says something for sure. But ultimately, if you look at the Caps, are they a better team with Cody Franzen on their third pair pushing Brooks Orpik into – because that's what it would do. It would push Brooks Orpik into a top four role. And I think at this point in his career, Brooks Orpik ideally is on the third pair. He was in the top four when Matt Niskanen was out, and he did well with it. But if you are at full
By the way, mm-hmm. I think he might have been the best player on the ice last night for the Capitals.
Until he tried to shoot the puck. Yeah.
I wonder if his teammates – I actually looked in the bench to see if his teammates were going to give him any because you know, he's like the dad on the team. Mm-hmm. So you can joke with him, but you don't want to joke too much because there's reverence for him. He's been around. He's won cups. You know, he takes care of everybody. He kind of is the de facto leader of that team to a certain extent. So, but I was looking down to see if anyone was going to go, Brooks, you're on a breakaway and you missed by 9 feet. What are you doing?
my reaction when all that went down, because he took the hit from Hutton right after, my reaction, I was sitting there laughing because he had missed the shot so badly.
So I went back and I looked at it very carefully to see what happened. He was clearly trying to pick the corner, but what happened, I think he has a little bit of hook on the end of his stick because it's pretty hard to miss by 4 or 5 feet like that. I think he just kind of – He's probably also surprised that he was like, wait a minute, why do I have so much space? Am I going the wrong way? What just happened here? He had another chance earlier on the game where he walked in and had a blast from the top of the circle.
Yeah.
And again, missed by – look, Brooks Orpik is a lot of things. Mm-hmm. A goal scorer, he is not. He blocked four shots. I mean, he blocked one with his elbow from Gabranson that really hurt. But, I mean, I thought he had an outstanding game. I mean, he's a big reason that Vancouver had such a soft second period. I mean, he was running around a little bit and playing physical and doing a lot of little things. And I think he was one of the better players on the ice.
Yep. Orpik was great, but he's not going to score intentionally ever again. It's going to be unintentional. It's going to be a weird bounce, weird deflection.
Here's a little bit of a tease because this is going to come out afterwards. The thing I was talking about earlier, yep. I'm actually going to one of his charity events today, so it's going to be really cool.
So you kept that secret. You kept that a secret for about 5 minutes, and then you told me.
Look, I'm a journalist. My job is to take bits of information and broadcast them to as many people as fast as humanly possible. It's what I do. Okay. Don't ever tell me something you don't want to get out there.
We are finally going to get to your mailbag questions right after a word from our sponsor. Tarek, it's time to open up the mailbag. First question comes from frequent contributor Greg Christian.
Hey, Greg.
Now, some of these are from a week or two ago, so bear that in mind. He writes...
I saw Greg at practice the other day.
I did too, actually. I saw him in the aquarium that is the media room at Kettler. He writes, what do you all think Trotz should do to get the second line on track? And do you think putting Oshie on the first line puts the success the first line has been having with DSP or Wilson there at risk?
No. I agree with your second point. I think that in terms of getting the second line going, I think Tom Wilson is getting that second line going. They had an outstanding game overall as a group against the Canucks. It took him a game, but you know, I talked to Tom Wilson after the first game they were together, St. Louis, and he said, hey, it just takes a little time. He said, we didn't have a whole lot of puck luck. He just seemed like, you know, we were sitting for long stretches and then just we never really had the puck on our sticks and just weren't able to kind of get it going. They got it going against the Canucks. I think DSP on the top line is a thing. I think it works. I think the other two guys like playing with them. I think he does some stuff that they don't do.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're producing the way they are, I don't see any reason to break that up. And by having those two lines, those top two lines the way they are now, and it's way too early to start talking about playoff lines, but man, when you put 77 on the third line, you start now you have three lines that are dangerous and able to produce goals
right
at any moment. And you still have 65. You still have Andrei Burakovsky, who isn't even really in that top nine right now. Mm-hmm. So you've got a competent top nine with another dude who's looking to get in. So, and then what that allows you to do is allows you to roll four lines. It allows you to really roll three and, you know, and mix in the fourth a lot. So, and what that does is that distributes the minutes evenly. It keeps everyone in the game. It reduces the minutes on the top guys. So when they do go back out there, they're not going back out on a power play after having just been out there and then going back out there on the bump up. Like you can start getting them to the 18, 19 minute mark when Alex Ovechkin is actually better when he plays 18 minutes. He just is. The numbers prove it. Our eyeballs prove it. It's better when he's not playing a whole lot.
Right. Second line is a concern. They need to produce, but as you said, they played a much better game against Vancouver. But then again, it's Vancouver, and everybody looks good against Vancouver these days.
Yeah, I talked to some of the local reporters who went in the Vancouver room after the game last night.
Yep.
And it sounded like last night was the moment of truth for them. They kind of realized, they looked around the room and said, guys, you know what? We suck.
Yes.
Because apparently the Sedin twins were pretty
upset about that game. So.
Yeah. It happens with every team. And it usually happens around now where, you know, guys, you know, teams that are kind of, you know, hanging on to dear life can go, hey, you know what? We can do this. You know, we just beat the Caps. Or we just, you know, hung with so-and-so. We can do this. Or they look around the room and they go,
it's not happening.
It ain't happening this year, guys. The trade deadline comes, we're all getting split up.
Somehow the Vancouver Canucks will not be hoisting the Stanley Cup this year, despite everyone's predictions.
Got a couple of good players.
A few. Our next question comes from Eddie. He writes, someone made a great point on a YouTube hockey channel that all past 10 years, teams who won a cup had a two-way all-star level center. Is the future of playoff success more on the shoulders of center players?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's right. You look at the most dominant teams of the last decade, and who are some of the better players on that team? I mean, you got Sidney Crosby on the Penguins, you got Jonathan Toews on the Blackhawks, and I would agree with that. I mean, you look at the way teams are constructing rosters now. They are investing heavily in their centers. They want 1 through 4 to be the best players on the team and to be, you know, very reliable. And they want, you know, you need a couple of top-end wingers to put the puck in the net. But more importantly, you need to be strong right down the middle. Because, I mean, let's be honest, centers do a lot more. They win faceoffs. They're more involved in the D zone. I mean, they're just more important players than a winger is.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I think that's a good point, whoever brought that up on that YouTube channel. I mean, do the Caps have one of those guys? I think Nick Backstrom is certainly one of those guys. I think Kuznetsov, when he wants to be, can be one of those guys, or could be.
I wouldn't call him in two-way yet.
Later on in his career, maybe, you know, once he realizes how important it is, and I think he's starting to.
Yeah.
He could maybe, you know, Lars Eller, man, I'll tell you, if he could just bring more offense to his game, he'd be a really, really, I mean, I know at his age, what, he's 28, he probably is what he is at this point, but, you don't want to talk about a guy who can just hold on to the puck forever. That guy.
Talk about a guy who's playing with confidence right now. He tried to deke his way through the entire Vancouver defense twice last night. I was thinking, you're playing great, but sometimes you got to pass the puck. You're not going to get through 5 players. You tried to do it twice.
Yeah, the second time, I know the one you're talking about. He looked around. He wanted to pass, but there was no, like, I think his two linemates peeled off for a change. And he was like, thanks, guys.
On any given night, a goalie is the most important player on the ice, but the most important skater is certainly the center. Interesting question here from Patrick O'Connor. Good Irish name, by the way. Aaron Gobrah. He writes, earlier this season, the Caps sent Bowie and Vrana down to the minors as a paper move. I saw from Cap Friendly that they did the same thing again on January 5th. With the players having different salaries in the AHL and NHL, does that mean that these two players are making the AHL salary this week while they are technically in the minors? I did look this up. They were sent down to the minors on January 5th and recalled on January 6th. Nobody really announced it because they weren't going anywhere. They were going to recall them immediately. It was just the bank cap space. But, Tarek, do you know how that works? Do they make their AHL salary for that day?
Yeah.
So their paycheck is a little lighter that week?
A little lighter?
Well,
you're talking
significantly
lighter. You're talking thousands of dollars to JJ's salary. Yeah. I mean,
significant. Peanuts?
I'm not making fun of you, but they're going from, they're going from making a professional athlete salary for the day to making a a minor league salary, and the salary difference is pretty big. I mean, a guy like Madison Bowie makes $700,000+ in the NHL, and in the minors, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I bet it's like 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a decent way. It's a decent difference, but the Caps do that because they're trying to bank space so they can afford better players at the trade deadline.
Yeah, they need to bank the space because they are that close to the cap ceiling. And while it you may sit there and say, boy, that stinks for Vrana and Bowie.
It does. It's better than actually being sent down.
However. Right. It's only a day. They're not actually being sent down. And these are two players who have been making an AHL salary the last few years. So making an NHL salary 6 days a week, they're probably still sitting pretty. But, you know, that does stink for them. Anyway, last question is from...
If I remember correctly, years ago when I covered this team for the Post, years and years ago, I remember the PA getting involved once with the Capitals, if I remember correctly. They had been doing so many paper transactions, and they were like, whoa!
Right.
I think it got, if I remember correctly. So I the one thing I don't know is there like a limit to how much you can do it?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just completely, you know, messing with a guy's paycheck.
Right. Yeah. Last question comes from Andrew. Now, this is one of those questions that was written definitely a week or two ago.
Andrew.
The West Coast trip wasn't as long ago as it seems. He writes, why are the Caps always seemingly terrible on the West Coast?
Always seemingly terrible.
This question was probably written in the wake of the Arizona-Vegas
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there are time differences. Mm-hmm. You know, hockey players are a creature of routine.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's a pretty big time difference, 3 hours. There's a lot of travel. You're in an unfamiliar building. There isn't as much passion, let's be honest. When you're playing against
the team,
the Arizona Coyotes, the worst team in the league, you don't play them a lot. You don't, I mean, sometimes you look up and you're like, who are these guys? I mean, like, you don't even know. They're not the guys you play all the time. So there's not a whole lot of hate built in.
Mm-hmm.
That has something to do with it. Sometimes when teams get out on the road, that's when they have their, you know, their team bonding things that go on. So there's a lot of stuff going on some of those trips. But it is not uncommon for teams that either go three time zones west or three time zones east to struggle when they get there. That happens.
It happens. I know some teams handle it better than others. But, I mean, if you were watching those games, how much coffee did you drink? How hard was it to stay up that late to watch those games? Now imagine playing a hockey game while doing that. That was what the Caps were doing.
Right.
So it's hard. It's hard to get up for a game at 10 o'clock at night.
And imagine being a West Coast team coming out east and playing an afternoon game. You're playing at like breakfast time. I mean, it's like it really can mess with your clock. But, you know, no excuses. But at the same time, I know that question was a little bit dated. Caps are in first place. I think they're up by 4 points.
Yeah. So they're doing fine.
Enjoy the process. Now.
If you want to have your question read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. You're listening to us right now. Take whatever device you're listening to, give us a good rating, give us a good review. I know you hear every podcast say this, but it is really true. Those things really do help out. So if you enjoy the podcast, please give us a good shout out and suggest this to your friends. Subscribe us. On all of your friends' phones, just swipe their phone real quick and subscribe to the Capitals Facebook.
Like you did with Ben Raby?
Like I did with Ben Raby. Anyway, that is it for this week. For Tarik El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.